Greetings from Podcastville. It's Tuesday, January 20-something. Who gives a fuck? It's your day to get up there and get out there and let these motherfuckers know who they're dealing with. The church is brought to you by Stamps.com. Listen to me. You want a New Year's resolution that actually you can keep? Stop wasting your time going to the post office when you can send letters and packages right from your desk at home. Do it today with Stamps.com. Listen, I've been using Stamps.com, my wife and I, for the last 5 or 6 years. That's how we send our t-shirts out. That's how we send the mugs out. They are tremendous. Do you understand me? If you're not on Stamps.com, it's a no-brainer. You're not saving time. So what I'm going to do is this. You could use Stamps.com because it's a no-brainer. It saves time and money. Right now, they got a special offer. What they're going to do is give you a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale to start your new year off right. Get your trial today. Do me a favor. Go to Stamps.com and click at the microphone at the top of the homepage and use promo code CHURCH. That's Stamps.com and enter promo code CHURCH and start sending mail like a doctor with Stamps.com. Also, I want to welcome to the church one of my personal favorites, ZipRecruiter. Why? Because it's how you hire people that's smart. You want the right people applying for your job. You know what's not smart? Job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the role you posted. You know what's not smart? Job boards that send you a mile-high stack of resumes to sort through. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/church. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/church to hire the right person. And right now, the church family could try ZipRecruiter for free. You hear what I just said? Free. Free, free, free. By going to ZipRecruiter.com/church. If you love the show and you want to show support, do me a favor. I don't care how big or small your business is. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. A smarter way to hire. Kick this fucking mule, Lee. Tuesday, January 22nd, or something like that. You got your credit card bills, you're sitting there depressed. The holidays ain't shit. Now you're broke, and now what are you gonna do? You gotta sit there like a fucking mutt. Thank God you got the church for what's happening now. And a little Biggie Smalls on a Tuesday morning. Rocking you motherfuckers. What? Martin Luther King Day. I respect.
70-something, nigga, I don't sweat the day. My mom was late, so I had to plan my escape out the skins. In this world, the fly girls.
We got a fucking job. We got Nate.
10 months in this gut. What the fuck?
Jake Ellenberger in the house. Talk about being stoned. Just saying it. And this is the clean Jake Ellenberger. So, USADA, don't even think it's coming over here. You got the Christ Killer. And you got your fucking Uncle Joey on a beautiful Tuesday morning. What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? I hope you enjoyed the weekend. I hope everything is all right. We got my man Jake Ellenberger here. Part two. Part one, he smoked a reefer debt and he didn't remember where he was. How did you feel, Doug?
I felt like I was like Oda May. I was talking to Patrick Swayze. I was on a.
And it looked like he was getting higher and higher and higher. And just to clear the air, there was no edibles involved. It was one bong hit. And what people don't realize is that the shit I'm getting now is like a bunch of white chemists getting together and stuff. These little geeky guys are getting together, and every day they try to make it one more percentage stronger. And I'm their guinea pig. And if I'm their guinea pig and you smoke with me, it looks like you're their guinea pig. Yeah. We're the mice of the 80s. Yeah. Remember when they used to give cocaine mice?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing. We're the same thing. We're smoking heavy duty out here. Getting fucked up to the gills. And now that I don't do that much edibles, like I ate two little things last night and I slept like a baby. Because I got to tell you, when you don't eat edibles, your sleep goes to shit, at least for me. I go right back to where I was. Inconsistencies. But when I eat edibles, I sleep like a fucking baby. I sleep like a baby. When you wake up, there's no hangover. Sometimes there's a little bit of a hangover, but you take a shit. You drink some coffee, you do a bong hit, and you're back. Like, you're balanced. All your chakras are open. You're ready to take the day by the balls and spit in its face. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
There's something about your weed, too, that it has a time-delayed release. So, like, I think that's what it was. Jake was fine.
Yeah, Jake was fine. I'm doing fine. Yeah.
Like, whatever they're doing at the plant or whatever, like, it's delayed release. It's crazy.
And it gets worse and worse. Listen, I came here on a Sunday one day just to clear the air with people. Ever since I cut the edibles out, I'm getting higher and higher. Sometimes you got to hear me at midnight. Lee, how high do I sound at midnight some nights?
Oh my, I don't think you remember talking to me sometimes.
I swear to God, I get back from doing comedy and I go in that bathroom and there's times I'm in there for 10 minutes at a time and I fill that pipe up 3 or 4 times and I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
And then I'll go out and I'll put music on and I'll just sit there and stare at my daughter's drawings. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'll call Lee and I'll forget. Because what happens is, this is what really happens. Before I go on stage, I get so much fucking anxiety. While I'm taking a shower to go on stage at the Comedy Store, I get so much fucking anxiety. So as I walk out, I take one of those 0.25 little faggy Xanaxes that they give you, the anxiety pills, and I put them in my top pocket. This is what happens to me. And I go down to the store, and as soon as I walk in the store, the anxiety starts to hit me. So I pop one of those pills, and then I go to the original room, and I go on stage, and I'm fine. And I don't feel the effects of the pill or nothing till I start driving up the hill. So once my adrenaline goes down, the pill kicks up. I figured it out. I go, this is the only thing that could be affecting me. I don't drink alcohol, but there's nights after I call Lee, my speech slurs. Like, there's nights I get that stoned.
You don't slur with me. You just sound really, really tired. I'm like, why is he so tired?
It's because I've done 8 fucking pipefuls of weed by myself in a bathroom with the locks closed. And I got no ventilation in that. I won't open up the door in case there's a raccoon back there. Then I got to fight a fucking raccoon.
Wait, you're just in a closed bathroom?
Yes.
I thought you had it open.
Oh, I sit there like a Jew in Auschwitz by myself getting steamed to death. And I just sit there in that room and I smoke weed. And I open the door and I have to close it real quick so the weed smell doesn't go in the house.
What?
Bro, for my daughter's birthday, I had to fucking put incense in there. I had to wipe down the walls.
It didn't help at all, dude.
My wife goes, you can't take the smell of weed out of here. These kids are going to come in here. They're going to get stoned to the gills.
Yeah.
We had to mop the floor 10 times.
Yeah.
There was more weed on that fucking floor than most weed stores.
Oh my God.
Like, and I clean that bathroom 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
You clean the corners out, there's weed everywhere in my bathroom. I get fucking tanked at night. I go home now and I get higher on the weed than I do on the edibles sometimes.
It happens quicker.
Yes. This weed we're smoking now. Sure. That thing that happened to you that day, that was no spike. Nobody put nothing in your water.
Yeah.
That was basically one bong hit. First of all, it's a 3-foot bong. Let's not forget that, okay? It's a bong with authority.
Yeah.
That bong will fucking kill a human person. That's not a regular bong. That's not for regular people.
Right.
But I know I came here about a month, maybe 5 weeks ago. I trained because Sundays my wife goes to church. So I got a 3-hour window.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to write something, train, and maybe go to cryotherapy by the time they get back. And then I sit with my daughter. And sometimes I do a podcast. Sometimes I just watch movies with my daughter. And last night she opened up a salon and she dyed my hair pink.
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous. Then I washed it off and she saw me on the way out. And she got pissed off. How you feeling, man?
I'm just thinking about you dyeing your hair pink.
She dyed it pink. What am I going to do? She's the boss.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay.
At least she's opening up businesses. She sat me down. She had an appointment booked.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did. She made me sign something like a waiver. She's the real deal, dog.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So on the way out, she's like, you washed it out. I'm like, oh, I had to take a shower. You know, I gotta go to work. I can't go with pink hair. I go, but tomorrow night you can dye my hair blue. And she goes, tomorrow night the salon's closed. It's Mondays. I'm closed on Monday. I'm like, you little
it's Martin Luther King Day.
It's Martin Luther King Day.
She's a businesswoman.
Yeah. What's going on, awesome. Jake Ellenberg? You look good, so you're retired.
Thank you. Yeah.
These are the questions we couldn't get out of you last time.
Yeah, I know.
You officially retired. I mean, you're 33. You're a young man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm...
What a fucking bind to get into.
Yeah.
What a bind to get into anything, and then you realize that there's a thing called the family, and you have to think about that.
I know it. I know it.
Life is very simple, but to have life without a family, it gets hard along the way. And mm-hmm. one day you do get, like, the other day I was thinking about, okay, so now us three with, you're 30, you're 20, you're 33, let's pretend I'm 31, mm-hmm. and we start, like, a crime thing out here. And we're making money. We're making fucking $1 million a week between three of us. We're chopping it up. Mm-hmm. We're paying off cops. We're selling coke, whatever the fuck. Now we hire two other guys and we start killing rival drug dealers. And next thing you know, we're making $9 million a week and we're chopping that up. And next thing you know, we've created a criminal empire. We're not the mafia. We're just a set of guys that got together. We trust each other till the end. And we're making money every week. This goes on for 6 fucking years. And then one day something happens. You meet the woman of your fucking dreams. And you have 3 fucking kids. You start spitting out kids. And one day you look at your kids and you go, holy shit, I gotta go out and kill Lee tonight and put him in a fucking hole. where's your law? You know, and yeah. That's what happened. Like with comedy and fighting. Fighting, I'm not even thinking about your kids in a money-wise. I'm thinking about yeah. your kids having you as a dad.
Right, right.
Fully being there, not fucking squeezing a ball and swatting flies that are imaginary and
yeah.
having Vietnam flashbacks at 4 in the morning going into their room. Yeah. I saw it on the wall. So, you know, you got to think about head injuries and all
yeah,
that shit.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of been my challenge too. Just thinking about my future, being there for my kids, you know, giving them all the time I want to give them. And it's life changes fast, you know. Like being a single guy, it's easy, you know. You can kind of float, do what you want to do, train. Yeah, when you got kids, it's different. You just got to think about their future more, you know. So even for me, like, thinking about fighting again, like, I think about it every day, you know. I'm like, I feel great. I for sure could fight, you know. But I start thinking about my future, my kids' future, my health, you know. It's definitely the most important. So it's tough, though. It's something one of the I gotta kind of continually analyze, you know, every week.
Did you start out at one of those gyms where sparring sessions were street pros, where you went all out?
No, not when I started. No, I'd say more like towards the middle of my career, it got a lot more sparring, a lot more intense, that kind of thing. But yeah, not so much in the beginning.
Did you take a lot of shots to the head, you think?
I have now, for sure. I think it started about, I don't know, maybe five years ago, 5-6 years. You know, you start fighting guys that are fucking good everywhere, fighting guys like Stephen Thompson, you know, just not the traditional fighters you see, or even guys you typically train with, you know. So it's, but yeah, I took some, you know, I fought Robbie Lawler, I fought Thompson.
No, you have a tremendous resume. I mean, you have nothing to fucking, you know, fucking joke.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's what you really, you know, football players. I mean, it's, when I was growing up, you didn't hear about it. I look at the kids I grew up with, and a lot of them were, you know, hands-on, running hills with fucking barbells on their back type of football team, you know, and mm-hmm. they're all okay. Some of them, their hips are gone from all those years of squatting heavy weights and shit like that. One of my friends that was Captain Healthy had like a heart issue, but he's back lifting weights 5 days a week and all that stuff. But none of them really have those traumatic head injuries as much as like they were banging heads. Those guys were doing football. You know, I come from a football high school, and those guys took practice fucking seriously. I would hang with them at night.
Yeah.
And I'd hear about the beatings they would inflict on each other, and, you know, the hatred between this guy and this guy. And they're fine, you know. Yeah, but with fighting now, you don't know. You know,
I know. Still, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to see, because, you know, you don't see a lot of the long-term effects still down the road, at least. So, yeah, I mean, even now, like, I feel fine. I feel great. I feel like I've always have, but, you know, I when I fought in Lincoln, actually, I met with a like one of the top neurosurgeons in the country. And I was asking him, I talked to him for like 3 hours, asking him everything about CTE to concussion. He's like a concussion specialist. And he was talking about, he did a bunch of tests with me, and there was nothing he could see that was anything, any sort of red flag. But he was like, really the people that are closest to you are going to notice there's any behavioral, you know, differences, or, you know, you go and gamble all your money one day, like some dramatic changes, you know, in your behavior. But he went as far as say, there's no direct correlation between concussions and CTE. And I was like, I was kind of blown away there. But even like you're saying, there's some people like who were in boxing or football, done some hard contact sports their whole life and are never affected, you know, they're fine. And there's some guys like, you know, like the Junior Seos and the guys like that, there's like a certain type of protein, I guess, in a lot of these people they found with CTE, like some type of protein in their brain, you know. So, but he was like, there's no, you don't have a better chance of having CTE than most people. So I was like, that was interesting. I kind of blew my mind a little bit.
So look, when, how long ago did you start?
I started fighting in 2005.
Like back then, were you planning for this already? Like, no. Did you know you had to like be careful, or you just went in being like, I just want to fight?
No, I was, it was one of those, you know, 2005, like you see Chuck Liddell, you see Tito, you see all these guys, and I like training. Training was a hobby. It was fun. And I never even anticipated making fighting a career, you know, and then just kept getting more opportunity. Like the better you do, the more just like, how about this fight? How about this fight? It was like, and then you're getting paid and it's like, fuck. But yeah, you don't really stop and think about it until like, I'll tell you when I really started, like when I had kids, you know, my son Jameson's 3 and a half. And that's when I was really like, start thinking about head trauma, injuries, you know, my future, his future. I want to be there for him, you know, when he's graduating school, that kind of thing. So
it's, you know, I watched that movie with Will Smith and what happened to these guys. And I remember the stories as they happened. And it's really sad, you know. I know for a fact, I had a concussion one time. And it fucked me up for a while. Like, it did fuck me up for a while. And it was a mild. I got hit and I fell off a motorcycle. That was it. I hit a pipe.
Jesus, that doesn't sound mild.
My head hit a fucking pipe.
Damn.
Thank God I wore a helmet.
Yeah.
Thank God at an early age, I was smart enough. I knew riding. I took my daughter to the park. And then we walked with the scooter with the helmet there. And then she fucking does 90 miles an hour. Yeah. 22 times around the park with the helmet. And then she came, brought me the helmet. She goes, I want to do the monkey bars. Then some kid showed up, and I see them put 2 feet on the fucking scooter, and I stopped her. And she started crying. She goes, but I want to ride a scooter. I go, you got to put the fucking helmet on, you know? Yep. And I thought about why I was so strict about it. It was because even when I was 12, I was a motorcycle freak. But something always made me wear a helmet. Mm-hmm. Like, they're there. Put it, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I even wore elbow pads when I rode, because it was just dirt ride bike. Mm-hmm. I was a dirt bike guy. So we would ride where the Giant Stadium is now. That was a swamp back there. And we were able to take motorcycles from one county to another and back. And then we had an area down there where you did jumps off things. And it was fun. When you're 13, that's what it's all about.
For sure.
It was a mile of cars that you had to go through. You had to be careful, and I drive the other way. The cops are going to stop you anyway.
Right.
In those days, the cops were going to stop you anyway or chase you. So you just went and you prayed that there was no cops. And I knew the dangers of a motorcycle. Mm. And we weren't racing. But it's like if us three went on motorcycles and we're fucking with each other. Fuck you, Lee. I'm going to fuck you up on one of those fuck you Lees. I turned. And there was a pipe sticking out of the ground. And it hit the helmet, and it took me right off. And next thing you know, I remember going into a friend's car, and next thing you know, I'm at the fucking hospital. And it was like, I remembered events. Looking at it today, it was like taking pictures of events. Like, 1 minute I was on my back. The next minute, you know, they were carrying me. The next thing I remember, I'm in a car, and I'm like, where's my motorcycle? Your motorcycle's fine. We'll come back and get it. Mm-hmm. The next minute, I was at a hospital. The next minute, my mother was there about to smack the fuck out of me in the hospital bed. And then that was it. When I got off, I puked that night. Okay. They did all those things, those tests. Mm-hmm. I got really, really sick. My vision started to blur a little bit for a few days.
Yeah,
I couldn't say this because they would keep me in the hospital. The last thing I wanted in those days. So I lied myself out of it.
Jesus.
So it was just like for 3 weeks I felt that something wasn't right.
Sure.
The mind is weird. There was a batch of cocaine that came into Boulder one time. Seriously. This batch of cocaine came into Boulder that was so pure. It was like 1994. And I didn't have a car. I had a bicycle that summer. And I'll never forget getting high on it that night. And like getting electroshocks all night. Like it was so fucking good that I got electroshocked all night. When I woke up the next day, I had the same feeling like if I had a concussion. And I remember thinking, I gotta get some more of that coke. Like, that shit is off the hook.
Oh my God.
I still remember riding a bicycle to the deli zone, right around the corner from the puddle car wash, with cars zipping by me. And I remember going, oh my God, I've lost my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just know I'm alive, but I really don't have. That's what it felt like. Yeah. That's what my concussion felt like.
Yeah.
Do I worry about it? You got to worry about every shot you took to the head as a kid. Right. I took a lunchbox to the head. I took a couple kicks to the head in karate class.
Sure.
What is it like getting punched in the face like the first time? Like
Let's try crazy.
No, thank you.
All right, then. What do you want to know? You don't like it? It's not good. I'll tell you that much.
Wait, and when you're in a fight, your adrenaline's going.
You don't feel it at all?
I mean, a little bit. Yeah, you do. I guess it just kind of depends. I mean, you're so in the moment, and you're so, like, savage in mode. You know what I mean? You're just,
oh, fuck you in the moment.
Yeah.
That is, I don't know how you guys do what you do. I get anxiety. Look at my face. Yeah. I get anxiety just thinking about, okay, I go out to my car right now. Have a good day, Lee. Love you. Thank you, buddy. I'll call you later to torment you. Jake, let's go downstairs. Let's walk out. Me and Jake are walking out. When Jake gets in his car, some guy pulls over and goes, hey, you fucking hunky. Fuck your mother in the ass. Jake says, what are you talking about? The guy gets out of his car. The guy throws a punch at Jake. Jake threw two punches at him. They wrestle for 5 minutes. I come down the stairs. The guy from the funeral parlor comes out. We break him up and you get in your car. That happens every day in America. Okay, and you get in your car and your adrenaline's going and your lip is cut and your knuckle is bruised and you get in your car and the fight's over with. I could live with that. That happens every day in America. Mm-hmm. I was raised for that to happen.
Yeah.
Like 6 weeks ago, I went to New York and some guy stepped in front of me and my daughter. With me, I don't care, but this is a kid. And I threw an elbow at him. I threw a shoulder at him and he looked at me and I go, excuse me? And he looked at me and he said, excuse me. Okay, I don't know. Maybe I was raised the wrong way or something. But that's one thing, living in the moment. Me calling Jake and going, hey, Jake, I heard you've been talking shit about me, bitch. You ever see 232, motherfucker? Fuck you. I don't like Cubans. Fuck you. I don't like people from Orange County and Omaha, Nebraska. And then talking shit and then having an argument at the press conference. I would have a nervous breakdown if I had to have an argument with somebody at a press conference.
You don't want
to
do that?
Not in a million fucking years.
Why not? You like it.
And then wait for 6 weeks to fight somebody.
Yeah.
That's insomnia for me. And then wake up that Saturday. What if you wake up that Saturday and you're like, you know what? I'm not in the mood to fight today. I'm having a great day. I'm feeling my chi.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. I don't feel like smacking somebody today.
Oh, my God.
Why would you feel? Because you got to be angry to smack somebody. You got to work yourself up to get in the ring. You know, some people fight better after they get fucked up for a minute.
For sure.
You take a couple shots to the head, then your blood starts rushing.
Wake you up.
You know, it really fucking wakes you up, Lee. Yeah. So that I do not understand.
So what are you most worried about?
But I guarantee there's people driving, listening, going, whoa, 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 whoa. What about your drive to the comedy store?
That's true.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but I know that day. So I suffer with it that day. But to suffer with it, from you to call me and say, we're fighting 4th of July weekend, it's fucking January 20th.
Yeah.
I got 6 months of torture sitting here. I got to put a picture of Jacob on my wall and shadow box in front of him and make believe I hate the guy.
Yeah.
And then I find out he's got 3 kids and a wife and he's a nice guy. And how am I going to fight him? I got no beef with this.
Why are you worried about all this stuff?
Because this is what concerns me. You asked me about the mind.
Yeah.
How the mind works. I would shit my pants if I had to fight somebody in 6 weeks. Like fight camp. That walk they do in the beginning, when you come out and you fucking throw punches and you got to stand there. When my hands are up and that guy is searching me, before he asked me about the mouthpiece, I just start running. Yeah. Like, I would just start running before. Or I left it in the mouthpiece. Did you bring the mouthpiece? Not at the boom. Where'd Joe Diaz go? He went to get the mouthpiece. Next thing you know, I got a fucking vest on, a pair of fucking sandals. And I'm in my car headed north. You understand?
Yeah.
They'll never see me again. Yeah. That is, when they put their hands up and the guy searches you, right there, I'm done. Once I got to go to TSA to fight somebody, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
And then you got to walk into the ring and make believe like everything is beautiful. And then the music starts and the other idiot walks in. And you got to watch this moron walk in and then run around in circles. And now this guy's running around in circles, and I'm thinking, I got to fight this fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's running around in circles or something like that. All this process scares the living shit out of a guy like me. 6 weeks, I got to fight you. I don't know how I'm going to feel in 6 weeks. You know what? I feel like fighting you, but I don't want to fight you. You know who I want to fight? The fucking field goal guy from the ranch. You know,
That's
how you feel some days.
Yeah.
I want to fight the mechanic that didn't fix my fucking car right. Yeah. I don't want to fight Lee. I got no time to fight Lee.
It's so different with these fucking massive crowds. You know, you go to, I fought at Rogers Center in Toronto, and there's 56,000 people. The walk from the fucking locker room to the cage was like a literally 5-minute walk.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I'm like,
by the time I get there, my stress, I would just drop. My knees would drop. My heart would pound.
Have you ever headlined a fight or gone like really late on the car?
Yeah.
Because that's the part that would kill me. Like the waiting while everyone else is fighting.
That's the worst part. It's waiting. I got to take a nap. Like when I, first thing I do when I get to the locker room, I fucking fall asleep. I got to fall asleep.
I don't know how you fall asleep.
Every fight. Yeah, I do, because then it just shuts everything off. You forget about it. But the more you think about it, you're like, all right, because that's the hardest part is the waiting game, because all the anxiety building and you know what I mean. It's different if you go out in the schoolyard or behind a locker room and you get in a fight with some dude. No big deal. No, nobody sees it. But now you got a guy who's been training for 10 weeks who wants to fucking rip your head off in front of a 100 million people. You know what I mean? It's a difference. The psychology is different. it's a trip.
I don't know how. I've learned from it. When I watch it, I put myself in their shoes.
Jesus.
Like, I put myself running down the ramp. Like I go, how would that feel to run down the ramp, you know? I always see homeless people. Like, when you make the left on fucking Riverside and Towanga there, Cahuenga, they got that homeless hut there. And sometimes I'm sitting there at the light and I trade places. I go, can you imagine? Like, the guy puts a laundry cart up and he's got like a ladder and he puts a fucking sheet and he sleeps under there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where he fucking sleeps. That's his little apartment. And sometimes when I go to sleep at night, I put the sleep apnea mask on and I lay down and I go, I wonder how the fuck that guy's doing it. And I make believe like I'm sleeping and cars are going past me. Can you imagine sleeping on the street?
No.
Where cars are doing fucking 30 miles an hour past you all night. Drunk drivers.
Throwing bottles and shit.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in L.A. who live in their cars or RVs. They have more, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if I could do that. I think if I got to that point, I'd probably move home. Like that's a different kind of commitment, I guess. Like, and thank God I just haven't been in that situation. But that's just like the first night you're sleeping in your crate, like, fuck, I can't.
You live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You train at Duke Rufus. You're 22. You're good looking. You know, I'm just saying, you know. And Duke has three really good fighters in his camp, maybe four, whatever. I don't know. I don't know Duke Rufus's roster. I know he's got Tyrone Woodley, whatever. I don't even know anymore. But you just feel like you want to go to a different camp. You want to come to the camp in Sacramento. You feel that you're a 145er and you want to train with those guys. Or you want to go to Colorado and train with Bang, okay, and hang out with TJ Dillashaw, because you and TJ are built the same way and you can learn a lot from TJ. So you usually have, what, 400 in the bank? When you're 22 or 23, you've been working, you got a half a girlfriend, you live in your dad's basement.
Yeah.
And you get in your fucking car, and your dream is to be in the UFC. Your dream is for a life of getting punched in the head. You think you're thinking about getting punched in the head when you're 23? It's the last thing you think about. No. You know, when I was doing coke and putting coke in my nose, did you think I was worried about being 56 with a child? And then, you know, no. I didn't think about the future. You don't, when you fall in love with something, you don't think about the future.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fucking meth whore. And you want to fall in love with her in 10 years, the future's no teeth. And fucking disability, and her pussy's all whacked up, you know. I mean, I'm just saying, guys, you know, you have to look at something. We don't think about the future when we're 23.
No.
So you fall in love with something. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now you want to train at whatever, TJ Dillashaw's camp. What do you think? People waiting for you with open arms? You get in your car, but you find out that the train with TJ Dillashaw, you got to train in there between 9 in the morning and 1. That eliminates most fucking jobs. That eliminates 60% of fucking workforce. So you got to start from the bottom. You got to live in your car and work in a restaurant as a fucking busboy at night until you become a waiter. And you know what, Lee? Guess what? You figure it the fuck out. You figure out the hotels you can park in front of and go into their bathroom without security. And then you fall in love with the front desk girl, and she tells you when to come. And she'll let you sleep in the back. And in the morning, you can figure out how to go in there and sneak a pack of fucking oatmeal. And by tipping the girl, you just life fucking, that's the sacrifice you make. And then you go to the gym one day, and you become friends with the guys. And you become, you're a hard worker. And one day the guy goes, hey, I need a roommate to share a house, and you can have the basement for $300 a month. But for 6 weeks, you got to live in your fucking car. That's part of the love that you have for what you're about to do. You don't think about repercussions. There's no repercussions. We live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. And I think maybe it's different if you're starting out. Like it's whenever I see it, I think about myself.
I met a girl 3 weeks ago. That was dressed to the nines at the Comedy Store with a guy. We were talking, having a great conversation, and she told me she was homeless. Remember the hooker?
Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah, she was hooked. Really? She said she was homeless. Damn. She lived in her fucking car by the Saddle Ranch in the parking in the parking lot at the Saddle Ranch. I mean, guys, you know, and she wants to be an actress, but she thinks that you could just sign with an agency.
Wow.
She doesn't know that you have to go to acting class. And you know, they think that they're confused. They're the prettiest girl in their neighborhood, and they come to L.A., and they don't know that every day a bus empties out 100 of the hottest women in the world come to fucking L.A.
Mm.
Or Miami during model season. They go down to Miami. You know, it's just the way life is. But they think because they won most likely to succeed, they're going to go to the Standard and then get a fucking job in a movie. Well, and then 2 years later, you're crying that you sucked Harvey Weinstein's dick. Because the process is fucking, you got to go to acting class and learn how to act and book, and then agents will be interested in you. It's a tight fucking economy here. But just getting back to your question, it's just, it's not that you let yourself get to that level. It's what you're doing for your dream.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're a good artist, whatever, and you want to go to Venice Beach, and you don't have enough money, and nothing's going. I hate these. Don't you hate people that look at you and go, you know what? It doesn't really matter because I'm moving to Omaha, Nebraska, February of 2021. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. Those people drive me crazy. Yeah. When somebody says to me, well, in a year and a half, we're moving to California. What? People who got to go, they go.
Yeah, exactly.
When somebody goes, they go. There's no looking back. There's no year to save money. Well, I need a year to put away money. You're just making excuses for yourself.
Exactly.
You're just making an excuse for yourself.
You're bullshitting yourself.
Take what you got. Go to grandma. Say, grandma, you're going to die. I know you're going to leave me 500. Forget the 500. Give me 300 and we're square.
I agree.
Get the 300 from grandma.
Oh, my God.
Borrow another two from a friend of yours. Mm-hmm. And $500, you come out here with your car. And that's what most people do.
Yeah.
Do I think it's the thing to do? If you really love it and you have a fucking plan, yeah. If you believe in what you're about to do. You
find a way.
You find the fucking way.
Yeah.
But if you're going to come out here because your cousin's friends with fucking Lee Syatt, and he's going to hook you up.
Yeah.
They're going to hook me up, dog.
I hate people saying
Jake will make
too.
A call to the UFC. Jake knows people. I'll go in front of Jake. The best of people who come and try to impress you, I can't do nothing for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I could do something for you. Right, I can't. Right. I know I can't. There's nothing I can do for you. I can open up certain doors for you, and you have to go through them like a fucking rhinoceros.
Yeah.
But I can't do nothing for you. You still got to put in the work.
Yeah.
And you still got to. Isn't this podcast better that you're not high? Just say no to drugs, God damn it. I say it every fucking day. Just say no to drugs.
I can interact, The conversation's better.
Yeah. But Lee's going to do your bong hit.
Yeah. I already did two bong hits.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did two half a little fucking fruitcake bong hits.
But I bet you get hit up all the time with the same shit. Like, I know for me, like, I get people like, I can't even tell you how many messages I get with people who want me to introduce them to Sean Shelby or Dana, or like, hey, I've been fighting. I got three fights, or I want to be I fucking every day. And I'm like, again, it's like, you gotta do the work. You gotta fight. Can you fight? Okay. Like, you know what I mean? I may be able to introduce you to somebody, but it's not just going to fucking in the snap of the fingers. You're fighting in the UFC. It's not going to happen. You know, like, I get people hitting me about fighting in the Contender Series and, you know, get me on, you know what I mean? I'm sure you probably deal with the same shit, but it's.
Years ago, the best one I ever got for Rogan was a guy that told me, Mr. Diaz, I don't mean to bother you, but I keep sending Rogan messages and he won't get back to me. I mean, I used to get those all the time.
Yeah.
Rogan won't get back to me. I'm sure you have a way to get in touch with Dana White. Let me tell you my situation. I'm 14-0 with 16 knockouts. You know, I knocked out the judge. I knocked out everybody.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God. This guy had a link on YouTube, and I went to him, and he had no fights on there. It was just him hitting the bag.
Oh, no.
He was tatted up from head to toe.
Yeah.
He had the knee brace on. He had the expensive shorts, the gloves. And he's beating the bag, and he goes, this is pure power. And he's calling people out on the bag. And, and I'm like, if you're 14-0, you must have fight footage. Why would you send Joe Rogan a tape of you hitting the bag? So I thought he was just, I go, maybe the guy's creative. Maybe the guy's artistic. Maybe it's him talking to us first before his fight footage. It was 4 minutes or 5 minutes long. I wanted to shoot myself after I watched it because he suckered me in. I was waiting to see him narrate his own fights.
Yeah.
This is me in Japan. It's him, you know, head kicking somebody. Me in Russia and him taking somebody in a fucking single and submitting them with a fucking Kimura or something. It was just him on a bag going, nobody wants this right hand. Not TJ Dillashaw. Not fucking Mighty Mouse. He called out John Jones.
Oh,
he called out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And he was doing nothing to the bag. I could see, like, if the bag blew up and feathers were everywhere. I mean, they're fucking retarded. When I saw the video, he was tatted from ankle to his neck. I go, oh, he had just done a shot of steroids.
Mm.
I mean, he was jacked to the fucking nines. He really didn't know how to punch. And I'm no fucking Jerry Cooney. I don't know nothing about boxing. But I know a punch when I see one.
Right.
Did you leave a comment?
Did I leave a comment? No. I would never fucking leave a comment. Never, ever.
No, like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
No. Those type of people, you leave a comment like that, the next thing you know, you don't know, but they jump out a window.
Jesus.
Yeah. They're that crazy to send Joey Diaz a video to send to Dana White to show him how tough you are and that you were 14-0 and there's no fights. That guy jumps out a window, gets hit by a car that night on purpose.
Yeah.
Or takes his own life. That's you can't even reply to those people.
There was a guy, and I probably shouldn't even say it, but he kept sending me emails saying someone was torturing him. It's like, you gotta make it stop, man. They're doing terrible things to me. It was scary. I can't respond to that stuff. There's this guy who told me he wanted to kill me once, but like that guy.
What?
I don't know. He just sent me an email saying, I hope, like, it doesn't matter. But like, yeah, they sometimes get crazy stuff.
I'll tell you where I get the craziest stuff. Messenger. I don't know if Facebook does that on purpose.
Yeah.
But the creepiest stuff I get is every time I click the Messenger and there's 40 unread messages. And you're stoned to the gills, and you're reading. And some of them are nice, nice American. We're just nice people.
Yeah.
I should say American. They're worldwide. But there's a ton of them. There's one guy now that I have no idea what he's talking about. So when they have no idea, I fuck with them even more. I tell them, take the medication, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't put them down. I just tell them, take the medication. I could see when somebody online is starting to lose it. Like at this point, you could see this is not going to end well. There's a guy that hits me up every time I go to New York City. I never hear from him year round. I hear from him the week I'm going to New York City. And it's always the same story. He wants help. He has a heroin problem. And he wants me to help him and bring him out here, and he wants to replace Lee. He would be better than Lee, and you gotta hear this shit.
Damn.
And there's always a story. Like, I'm gonna be Ari's producer. So I called Ari and I go, you know who this guy is? He goes, no, he hit me too. About coming and watching me at the show. There's some crazy people out there. And if we get that, can you imagine poor Rogan?
No, no.
Have you ever seen when Rogan posts on Instagram?
Oh, it makes me feel better about myself.
It is something. There's times I just check his Instagram just to see what people say.
Yeah.
He could put a fucking picture of a dinosaur up, and he could be in one of his intelligence modes and go, well, let me put a picture of a scientist found 30,000-year-old elephant bones. You know, he'll post something like that up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people like, who's going to win Khabib or Conor? DMT, 100%. You know, they don't leave it alone with the DMT. That was 10 years ago.
I know.
Leave it alone. It's like when somebody calls me Big Pussy from The Sopranos, or somebody comes up to me now and says, I listen to the podcast all the time. You have any stars of death on you?
Yeah.
I just look at them and ignore them. Because you're not listening to the podcast, because we haven't done a Star of Death in fucking a year now.
Yeah.
Only Lee's got a bag of stale.
Last bag,
And he's still eating those things.
Yeah, they work.
I don't ever want to see those fucking things again. They're the nastiest.
Yeah, they taste pretty shitty,
They're a year old. They're fucking overexpired.
I kept them in the fridge.
You kept them in the fridge. You're fucking crazy.
Oh, shit.
So you have the company that has like the foam roller you gave me.
Yeah, the Hyper Ice company.
And that's keeping you afloat.
Yeah, they're doing well. Yeah, they're doing well. Yeah, I got a couple investments I've made, so they're doing pretty well. We got a restaurant actually about to open in West Hollywood. They're about to open a Bottega Louie, so.
What kind of a restaurant?
Well, there's one downtown called Bottega Louie.
Oh, yeah. I went there.
They got a lot of pastries and macarons, that kind of stuff. But good food. One of my buddies I grew up with, he's like there. He went to USC. He's an architect, like super fucking brilliant guy. He's their architect. But I invested in the new one they're about to open. So like this sometime this year. But that's it's keeping me busy. So
next time he comes, he's going to be coming in a Bentley. That's like one of the places in downtown that like girls really like to go. Like it's, yeah, like, it's like one of the Yelp places.
Pictures and
it's a good. It's, sure. It's always busy. Yeah, open. It's, always. It's like one of the highest rated bakeries ever.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. But yeah, so I got taken.
So you invest in these things?
Yeah. Well, the new one they're about to open, I did. Yeah. So they're, yeah, they're killing it.
Are you going to be like a working partner or just like a behind the scenes? I just gave you money. I want a little money back every year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm just kind of behind the scenes, you know. So, but you know, I might. I'm open to.
You don't want a good fella? Because I know how to good fella that motherfucker.
Yeah.
You can good fella that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, let it get cooking.
Yeah.
I can start going in there, starting up a tab for donuts and shit and Lee.
Yeah.
And then when they come to me, hey, you owe us $3,000. When are you going to pay us? I smack the manager.
Yeah, shut up.
Tell him to call this number. And we're your partners now. And then we exactly. Then we go through it like the Sopranos. We just start ordering bags of flour and
yeah.
Selling them. And then one day we just light the joint on fire. That's it. Fucking Jewish style. And everybody walks away debt-free. Fucking yeah. A little checky poo.
Hands are clean.
And no more cupcakes. You know what I'm saying? No more fucking cupcakes and shit. When you watch a fight now, how do you feel? Did you watch this weekend's fights?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how do you feel as you're sitting there watching these fights?
No, it's, you know, I mean, I analyze a lot of fights and stuff, and I mean, for me, I look back at a lot of my fights, and I just think about, like, you know, it's hard to, like, not overanalyze yourself as far as, oh, I could have done this better, I got a buddy, Ethan Suppley. He's an actor, and he's never.
Great. He's on the podcast.
Oh yeah, okay. Great guy.
Great guy.
He's never watched anything he's ever done. Blew my mind. Never watched a film, a show, and I thought he was joking. He's like, no. I was like, you're serious? And he's never watched something he's done, and he, because he's very critical of himself. You know, I could have, I didn't like this. I could have done it. Like I understand it. I get it. But for me, even like I look at my fights, it's hard to watch some of my fights. Like even that have been like real close where I could have done this or I fucking knocked him down, got back up and he head kicked me. So, you know, so I like watching fights, but my fights are a little harder because it's like, you tried to overthink shit and I could have done this or strategy, you know. But I mean, it helps guys. Like I still help other guys train too, so I can kind of give back a little bit to them as far as reflect on the shit where I made mistakes or, you know, things that I could have done better. But
it's funny when I watch a fight as a fan, but I also watch to learn. I watch, mm-hmm. I think about what they're thinking about, you know, when I'm watching a baseball game. Like before the podcast, we were talking about Tom Brady. Like, what are you thinking about on the sidelines when you got that ball back with 54 seconds?
I know.
39 seconds. And what were you thinking about when you won the toss and how you walk out there. Well, this is all going on. This is what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I'm watching a football game, but I'm trying to put my head where he's at right mm-hmm. now. You know, there's, I don't know, 11 people on the other side that want to kill me. They want to fucking take my fucking head off.
Blow your knee out.
Blow my knee out or something.
And they're monsters. They're not just any people. Yeah, it's only me and you. It's the fucking...
fucking, you know, they all run a 4.240.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is...
fucking savages.
You're 41 years old, which naturally you've lost a step, which he has.
Right,
you
can
tell. What are you thinking? What is on your mind? How do you prepare for that? I mean, that has always been my quest, like... And what I like about fighting is, okay, so the other night I told you I watched it two times, Khabib against Conor. After Khabib taps out, you're sitting there, you're breathing. What's going through your head? The things you didn't work on.
Mm-hmm.
The day that you went to the museum with your wife instead of going to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You think about the night you didn't go and do strength and conditioning
right.
because your ankle hurt, but it really didn't.
Right.
You think about, you know, when I get off stage and I ate a bag of dicks and people are like, hey, good, thanks for coming and all that. I'm talking to them, but I'm really in the moment. And I'm breaking down just what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the car, I call Lee, I bust his balls. Once he hangs up, the rest of the ride home is breaking down my set, what happened, how I felt. You know, I might get off stage at 11:30. But I can't go to bed till 1 or 1:30
mm-hmm.
because that's what's racing through your mind. That joke worked. that fucking joke. Like last night, I just wanted to get something out. I wanted to make sure I covered this. And I did two of the three sets.
Yeah.
Which for a guy like me is a win. All I wanted to do in sparring last night was work a two-punch combo with a fake Superman kick. And when you angle, I get you with the kick to the head on the left side. That's all I wanted to work on last night. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going down to try this thing, whether it fucking kills me. Because the worst thing is putting something on paper and going, that's going to kill him. And then going down there and not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about game plans and fighting. I've learned a lot about game plans because I could tell when a fighter is sticking to his game plan.
Mm-hmm.
When Conor fought Nick Diaz the second time, he went in there with a game plan. Mm-hmm. He watched the fight when the guy kicked his legs 1,000 times.
Yep.
So he implemented the leg kick. He stayed away from him. He didn't let Nate get too close to him. And he lost to him the second time, not if you watch it, but he ended up winning. He made little adjustments in his fighting. I love that shit.
Yeah.
When I watch a fight and I could tell that you made adjustments, I love that shit. Diaz loves throwing the high head kick. And he goes low, 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 and he comes up high.
Mm-hmm.
If you time that head kick the right way, I'm a dead man against a guy like you, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take me down with a single while that leg is coming up on you. And it's easy night after that. Because you're taking me down hard. I got one leg up in the air. Mm-hmm. If you time it, you're done. You sweep me on my shoulder, it's all over. The oxygen flows out of you, and you start throwing punches from underneath. And all of a sudden, McCarthy comes in and waves you off, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel when I do stand-up. When I get off the stage, those first 2 minutes, I like to just, you're analyzing your set, where you went wrong, where you could have been better.
Yeah.
And what are you going to work on the next time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... I compare a lot of shit in comedy to MMA because it's an art. No matter what. The only thing we don't have is weight cutting.
Yeah.
Thank God. Can you imagine if you had to make weight for Friday's show every week? We and you would never get the
before.
I'd never make weight. I never make weight. That's the only difference in the art is making weight. It's still the same fucking thing. Listen, Joey's a jiu-jitsu guy, Jake. When you fight him, you got to throw the four-punch combo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to work on four combos, a right cross, low kick, and a high kick, you know? Just mix it up into four. He can't take a four delivery. That's what I would, you know, that's how I cut. That's mm-hmm. how I practice my comedy. That's how it works for me.
Yeah.
To go out there, throw jabs, and to expect an ass kicking.
being able to make the adjustments.
Just to make the adjustments.
That's fucking awesome.
Just to make the adjustments. Because guess what? My combo's going to start with a jab. I'm going to come over. I'm going to leg kick him with a left. And then I'm going to take two steps and go to the head. Maybe there's a step I'm taking that I'm not doing it right. And he's going to catch me with an overhand left the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got to get back to position and try it again. Move it around a little bit. Maybe throw a head kick at him. Fake a Superman punch. But then... after that, I'm going to run the same combo again. Jab, cross, leg kick, high kick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, and if I do it, and even if he blocks all four of them, if he knocks me out after that, I'm good. Because I know I'm on to something. Yeah. This isn't sparring.
Right.
This isn't sparring.
Mm-hmm.
If I see that I'm easily taken down after I throw the second kick, that means he could read the second kick. I got to make adjustments with that second kick.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make adjustments with that leg kick. He's popping it. He's blocking it. You know, he's, what do you call that? When you pick up your leg, he's checking it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't have him check it. Maybe I'm kicking too low. Maybe I'm kicking too high. But if I kick him low, I got his balance and I can knock him off balance and I come at him with a left. These are the same things in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to expect that. That's what I'm not good at, jiu-jitsu. Like, to be good at jiu-jitsu, you have to know what that guy's second move is going to be
mm-hmm.
before he does it.
Right.
You want him to put his hand down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just found out that if you get me in a fucking spider guard, I can't pass. Even if it's the easiest path, It's a terrible mistake. I just found that out after 5 years. I would do it all the time and get swept. Try to pull that fucking spider guard on me now on the right-hand side. Because now I know it to sit still until you pull the guard out a while, until I just step aside and pull your leg, and hopefully I can cross-pull your leg and get on top of you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that for years. I would actually pass your guard with one arm hanging there like the fucking Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But to do it and fail...
Right.
It's the same thing with comedy. It's the same thing with anything. Unless you try it, you can't fucking fail and you can't learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the best thing that you have experience to share with younger fighters to calm them down. You know, I think sometimes young fighters, like, I love to see young fighters that grow in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Like yourself. You came in at a young age.
Yeah.
And you grew up in the UFC. You took some wins. You took some losses. Then you figured it out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then you figured it out for a while. Then you start having doubts. And there you go. You know, it happens. It happens.
Know it.
The worst thing you could happen is when you start having doubts. And we all have them. I had them 2 weeks before I shot the Degenerate special.
Yeah.
And it destroyed my performing skills.
I thought that was great.
No, 2 weeks before I got doubts. Mm. I started switching material. I started having doubts. And you live and you learn. And I'm a veteran. Even at the 26-year mark, you still have doubts,
mm-hmm.
which creates a whole different set of scenarios, you know?
Definitely. I know. I wish I would have, looking back now, I wish I would have slowed down a little bit, you know, because when you're fighting at that fucking top level competition, you know, you get, you know, you make ups and downs, you take some lumps, but I was like full speed ahead, and I just wish I would have slowed down a little bit, kind of
two fights a year,
reset, you know, kind of analyze myself a little more, you know, becoming a little more aware of setups and like strategy, like you're talking about making adjustments, like those are the most important. I mean, I was even watching Cowboys fight this last weekend. Like, that young kid, it was interesting because everybody who's a veteran like Cowboy, yeah, they know how that young kid is, who just is reckless, doesn't care. And that's a hard guy to beat. But as soon as Cowboy started getting his distance, his range, seeing how this guy would, for example, that kid, Hernandez, he would throw some good combinations, but he would back straight up. And I could see it. I was like, if Cowboy picks up on him back and straight up, he's going to start following him after he resets. He's going to follow him back in and start landing a straight punt. And he did. He started tagging him up, and which ended up setting up that head kick. But that's one of those things, like, as a veterinarian, you can see. You can pick up on those things and make the adjustments. But that was a great fight by Cowboy.
Now, have you seen the scam coming? Or have you not seen the scam coming?
What's
the
that?
Last 6 months? So after Conor McGregor lost to Khabib convincingly, they all sat down, and we had a pick. They're not going to give him. I knew they're not going to give him the Spanish kid. What's his name? Eddie's guy. Fuck. Who's number one? So at 155, it's Khabib is the champion.
Oh, Tony. Yeah, Tony Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson. Yeah. They're not going to give him Tony Ferguson. There's no way.
Right. No.
They can't take another knockout. They can't take another chance with him.
That's a hard fight.
Poirier got dangerous.
Yeah.
And after you fight somebody once, Poirier improved 100% after he fought McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Holloway improved 150% after he fought McGregor.
Yeah.
Because once you see where your mistakes were, now you fought who was supposed to be the best. You lost. I'm going for it. So all these guys, they don't want Poirier against McGregor,
mm-hmm.
but they told Cowboy 6 months ago, you know, after Khabib lost, to start dropping weight to go to 155. What is he ranked at 155?
Cowboy. Yeah, top 10, I'm sure. 7, 6, maybe. I don't even know.
Since you're on the show, we could talk about this. I think McGregor's next fight should be that Spanish kid.
Ferguson. Tony, yeah.
Ferguson. That's my feeling about it.
Yeah.
But let me see who else is on there. You got Barboza also has to be up there at 155.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got...
I don't think he's ranked right now.
Who?
Cowboy.
He's got to be ranked either 170 or 155.
Let me check 170. Yeah, he's still right as of right now on the... Wait, this is UFC UK. Let me check the...
Jesus Christ, you use nut capitals, Lee.
Oh, no, no.
No.
Yeah, Tony. Well, and then you think about Tony maybe fighting Khabib. I don't know. That's a good fight.
They were supposed to fight.
But
that's a tremendous fight. That's another fight that people really, really like to see.
Yeah.
But I think he's been, you know, he sees an easy opponent in Cowboy. And I hope he doesn't really think Cowboy's going to be an easy opponent.
Right.
You know, once Cowboy gets into a rhythm, he does okay.
Yeah.
And again, he's been back in the rhythm. I think he won his last two.
Yeah. Two or three.
Lost his last two or three. So he might be, you know, you get a Cowboy when Cowboy's Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget Cowboy could jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Cowboy is not bad at jiu-jitsu.
No, he's great.
What is he? How many submissions does he have? Look at his record. Cowboy has good jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So don't underestimate. A lot of people loving that fight already, and I think Dana thinks that McGregor can beat Cowboy and try to get his status back. I think Cowboy might be a little tougher than what he fucking thinks.
I agree.
You fought Cowboy.
No,
I never fought Cowboy, no.
I'm assuming this is updated. I'm not sure. But on the UFC's website, it says 9 wins by knockout, 17 by submission, 8 by decision.
Yeah. His jiu-jitsu game is no fucking joke.
No, it's good.
So I hope that they don't think that they're getting like an old Cowboy.
Yeah.
That, because if Cowboy decides to fight Conor McGregor, trust me, he's going to fucking train hard for that fight.
Oh, yeah.
And his Muay Thai is sensational.
Yeah.
You know, his Muay Thai has always impressed me. But his submission game ain't bad. He's not bad on his back, bro. So this might not
That's
be
not an easy fight.
No, this ain't an easy fight.
Hell no.
This isn't going to be an easy fight.
The UFC is kind of like what you were saying earlier with like the pretty girls who come like from all over. Like, it is kind of crazy. Like, every fight in the UFC or really any organization now is like the best. Like, even if they lose, like, they're like the best of the best. That's pretty crazy to have to like fight that guy. That's crazy.
Fight what guy?
Like, it's not like that's the part that gets me, is like, there's so much, like, the other guy's great. It's not like you're fighting, like, you know you're going to win. Like, you never know if you're going to win.
No. They make up some cards that you sit there and scratch your head. I mean, who saw Cyborg get knocked out against Nunes?
I know it.
No, who saw Henry Cerruto?
Can you imagine training to go up against Cyborg? That's scary.
I had a feeling about Nunes, because Nunes is slick. She's just fucking slick.
Yeah.
And she might,
she can,
you know,
fucking hit, too.
It didn't surprise me. You know, it didn't surprise me. Henry Cejudo over Tillerschaw this weekend surprised me. I didn't watch it. I was just relaxed. Yeah. I'm not getting the ESPN. I didn't know they threw a fucking by the way at you.
Yeah.
Why can't the UFC just be square with you? Why can't? I was telling my wife that in society today, you avoid thinking about it, but no matter what you do, at every level, you get fucked. Lee, whenever I talk to Lee, the first thing he'll tell me is, I like that city. I like that hotel, but they charge $38 to park. He tells me about parking constantly. Lee knows every parking rate across the fucking country. And that's good and it's bad. It scares me that Lee, Lee was going to get a piece of ass at a hotel. And he called me one night. It's $100 a night, but it's $38 to park. You know, what am I going to do? You know, last week he went to court. He wouldn't pay the 10 to park next to the courtroom.
It's not 10. It's 20.
It's 20.
Oh, shit.
I was there for 2 days.
And here's the killer.
They're giving me free parking.
Here's the killer about that. That, I don't even know what the fucking point is.
I'm stingy as fuck with parking.
When you go out anymore, you really try to have a good time. And then you walk home. You get home and you realize what you spent for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, like, you're getting fucked. I see these plane tickets I pay for.
Yeah.
I see the amount I pay for cars and all this shit. I see the amount that they want for Super Bowl tickets. We were just discussing Super Bowl tickets. Fuck. And the amount they want for tickets. And, you know, I just heard through the grapevine that Ticketron sells tickets, but they all bought, they bought a company who buys those tickets and doubles the price on them and sells them to scalpers. You know, so as a consumer in today's world, yeah, we turn a blind eye to it, but you feel like you're getting fucked at every level.
Mm-hmm.
I love to go to a Laker game, but I'm not paying $189 to sit all the way up in the top under the air conditioner, and then I got to pay another $50 to fucking park.
No. Yeah,
and then, exactly. You know, somebody, I spoke to somebody the other day, and I go, are you going to the Rams playoff game 2 weeks ago? Not the one this week against New Orleans, the week earlier. And they said, I thought about it. And then I went online. And they go, Joey, it was going to cost me $500 to go to that game in the fucking rain. He goes, you know what? I saved the $500 and I watched that home and I enjoyed myself.
Good.
I want you to think about something.
Mm-hmm.
$500. Who has $500 to go to a fucking football game? They have 800,000 people are not getting a fucking check right now. 800,000 people. When I flew the other day, I thanked all those TSA agents. I thanked them to their fucking faces. I was like, hey, man, thank you for being here today. I can't even imagine going somewhere and not getting paid right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lee and I have discussed it. $800 for floor seats at the Rolling Stones. And $50 to park. And it's 12 for water. So if you're not coming home as an American consumer and going, I just got fucked. You know, they don't let you fucking smuggle water during TSA. They make you throw the water away. Why? Because you got to pay $4 in the fucking airport.
Mm-hmm.
They want you at the airport 2 hours earlier. Why? So you sit there? No. So you spend money on their overpriced fucking food that you're going to shit out blood no matter what level it is. I ate at that place the other night. My stomach was fucking sick at the airport, no matter where the fuck you eat. So as an American, even I feel sometimes, I go somewhere and I go, man, that was pretty good. And then my wife would go, it was $54 for four hot dogs. And you're like, I just got fucked in the ass. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, how much are tickets for a UFC event, you know? And it's not the tickets for the event. It's everything that goes into it.
Yeah.
They've eliminated a class in this country. They've eliminated a class.
Especially, like, for me, it's hard, but, like, it's even tougher when you're in a relationship, or, like, what if you're married with kids, and you have to buy four times of everything?
Oh, yeah.
Like, people, it's... Guys, I see people
gotta fly somewhere. You're spending
$1,500. I see people flying. I don't know how they do it with two kids, and they don't give a fuck. They don't have a special price for kids or nothing. Your kid flies for free if he's under three.
That's it?
That's it. Under two.
I think it's two.
Yeah. Everybody else fucking pays. That's a seat, Jack. We want them. What if he sits on my lap? Well, listen, it's our fucking lap.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting on our fucking chair. Capitalism. So on every level, and as a consumer in America right now, you're like, you know what, man? Jesus Christ. You know? When does the fucking stop? Like I said, I feel bad for this generation that they can't go to a baseball game for fucking $20. Mm-hmm. Try to get Dodger tickets for $20. See what you get. You get an earphone and a cup, and they let you listen to the wall.
Yeah.
Like they tell you, go around the back, take that cup and put it against the thing. You'll hear the game perfectly. That's what you get for $10. I used to pay like $12 for a Nick ticket. $15 for a Nick ticket.
Right.
That means if three of my kids go, or me and my wife and two kids, it's $60. It's New York City. I'm going to get banged on anyway, but, you know, popcorn, maybe some fucking cotton candy, maybe a box of Raisinets. You go to a movie today in America. How much is a fucking movie?
$15, $20.
You ever walk out of a movie, you're dirty light. And that's with validating parking. You gotta fucking get validation.
I hate validating parking.
Yeah, it's the most embarrassing thing in the fucking world. Mm-hmm. Even that Lemley I go to, you have to take your ticket, they validate it, and you still gotta pay to get out of the fucking place. Then there's a line by the fucking machine. You gotta stand there for another fucking hour.
Yeah.
So you get fucked with every level. I gotta take a shit. I just sat there for 2 hours and stuffed myself with popcorn. I'm blasting farts at the end of the movie. Like, I can't. My wife's looking at me like, hold on. It's going to end in 20 minutes. I think I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I know. That fucking popcorn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. So that's it, man.
It's, yeah.
And then you go to a place like Omaha, where you're from. You compare the prices of what you pay in Omaha for gas, what you pay in Orange County. Even New York City has cheaper gas than L.A.
Really?
Yeah, it's like $2 a gallon and shit. Jeez.
I was telling some friends about my brother Joe's house. He bought his house, let's see, like 5 bedrooms, $130,000 they paid for it. Think about that, $130,000. He's got a family, he's got 3 kids. Wife, 3 kids.
Joe Ellenberg is a fighter also, right?
Yeah, he doesn't fight anymore, but I was like, 130, you couldn't buy you can't even look at houses out here.
You can't buy a tree for fucking less than fucking 800,000 in this neighborhood.
Do you can't take a piss on the bush.
Do you want to stay here now?
I mean I like it. I like it out here. I'd like to ideally have a place out here and a place back there. So, but as far as where, you know, where raising kids, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I gotta figure that out. But I do. I enjoy it out here, though. It's a lot of you know, you got 20 minutes to the beach and plenty of stuff to do. But yeah, it's expensive.
Do you go to the beach a lot with your kids in the summer?
Once in a while. Yeah,
you okay, try you to go live maybe. Close. How far are you from the beach?
20 minutes. Yeah.
So you use the beach. Use the beach.
We go for a walk, you know, let the kids play in the sand and shit. And, you know, they love that, but...
Your family's nice in Nebraska?
Yeah.
How about your wife's family?
They're Arizona.
Yeah, down in the middle.
So, yeah, not bad.
So but, both places, if you decide to move there, at least you got support there.
Yeah. Right? It'd still be cheaper than out here.
Yeah, man. No. It makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
So you're thinking of fighting again if a league calls you and they offer you?
It would have to be fun. I mean, it had to be financially worth it, you know?
Do you still have the same management and everything?
Yeah.
So you have somebody cutting deals for you and stuff like that? Yeah. Have you considered Bellator, or you don't want something that serious?
I've considered it, but I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to close that door. You know what I mean? Like training so much and just training as long as I have and... I don't know. I think about it a lot, but yeah, I don't know. Then I have that realistic talk with myself about my kids and the future, and let's not fight again. You know, I don't know. Like, my ego, I want to fight for sure. But when I start thinking a more rational, logical dad, Jake, then I'm like, all right, I'm done.
What a call to make. Like, I think Lee and I were having this conversation about England, New England last night. If Tom Brady wins at 41 years old, that gives him how many rings?
I think it's 6 or 7.
I think it's 7.
Are you fucking sky seriously?
Yeah.
So right now, if you're Tom Brady and you beat the Rams,
right,
at the end of the game, do you raise the fucking trophy and say, I'm done?
He better not.
I've got enough money.
Yeah.
I've got 7, 6 rings. I mean, when do you say it's enough?
I know.
He's talked about until 45. I don't think he does. He doesn't even himself out when he's like leading by 30 at the end of the fourth quarter.
Okay, now what happens?
He likes being in there.
What happens in 2 years when you lose another 2 steps and kids around you are getting stronger? Mm-hmm. They're coming in from college a lot stronger than they were when you were fucking 19 to 20, and they're fast and they're stronger. And yeah, they're limiting hits on quarterbacks, but remember, there's a way I could hurt you. Just you getting up 11 times, just me knocking you down. There was somebody I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, and I go, you go to judo? This kid's one of the toughest kids I know in jiu-jitsu. I go, you go to judo? He goes, no. I go, why not? He goes, I just don't like getting up. You know, and this kid's 23.
23?
Yeah, he's like, I just don't like getting up after they throw me on my back. He goes, I don't like it. I'd rather just stay down, you know? I don't like that shit. So You know, I mean, so think about it. He's going to say, what do you want to see? Do you want me to see you getting sacked and thrown away that 7 year? Is it 7 or 6 years before I get tortured on Twitter? Please, you know how New England people are.
Yeah.
Why do you fuck with me? Give me the exact information. When do you retire, Jake? When do you say, I look at myself in the mirror, Jake, I swear to God, I look like I'm 90 years old. I feel bad for people if they come to see me now because I'm so fucking old. So I ask myself every day, when do you retire? Now, everybody in this room and everybody who listens to this podcast knows, if a guy like me retires, I die. That's when I die. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You always have to... I'm one of those guys that I want to die working. You know, I never want to be living on a yacht when I'm 65 and making... I hate all that shit. You got to keep working. I respect these older guys.
Definitely.
That keep fucking working. But that's something completely different. That's looks and image, image and appearance and what your mind can handle. I'm talking about when you're getting fucking hit for a living.
Yeah.
That's a complete different fucking living.
Definitely.
How old, when does a human being go, I've had enough? Lee, how long does this take?
I'm sorry, I went to the wrong page.
Yeah, no shit. You've been going to the wrong page all afternoon, and you're supposed to be the computer fucking genius.
I'm fucking, you know what you did.
I didn't do nothing.
Fine, I'll shout out this one.
Yeah, Brady, I imagine he plays at least a couple more seasons.
Don't throw him off. He's counting with his fingers, and you want to talk over him.
Sorry.
When does it end, Jake Ellenberger? Look at him. He's that high. He's counting with his fucking fingers. Look at his creepy little fingers. Look. You can tell his grandfather was a diamond smuggler back in Israel in the 40s. He's got that natural arthritic.
I can't even count right now. God damn it.
He can't even count.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, guys. You're 41 years old.
Yeah.
Your wife is worth millions.
Sure.
You're worth millions.
It'll be his sixth one.
It'll be his sixth ring.
I think it's his ninth Super Bowl. Ninth
he's five and four, I think.
10th Super Bowl.
That's just crazy, guys.
Yeah.
He wins. You turn around. You say, c'est la vie. The part of your contract is they make you VP of entertainment activities. And they give you a salary of base $350 a year so you could retain your insurance or whatever the fuck deal it is. Yeah. You know, when I was watching Kansas City yesterday against them, I remembered for a second that Joe Montana went out.
Yeah.
Playing for the Kansas City
Chiefs. That's when I was a big Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
When Joe Montana was playing. Marcus Allen. Hell yeah.
They all went to Kansas City at the end. And Joe did okay in Kansas City. Yeah. He retired out of Kansas City. Yeah. Did he go somewhere else? No. He retired after Kansas City. But he still, he had that four-ring legacy at
49ers, yep.
And they took those three extra years, and he looked bad. I don't ever want to see Tom Brady look bad.
The other year when he got suspended, I was actually happy. Because all I really need him for is the playoffs. So I think if they draft, hopefully they'll draft like his next guy, because he can't play for that much longer. But I think he still has like 2 to 3 years left in him.
I think so.
I don't think so.
They're gonna start. They're gonna start paying him more too, and be like, "We'll give you fucking $3 million to play this year." I think he takes.
It's a tough fucking decision.
I hope.
I don't know how it's gonna end. If he loses, I get him coming back another year.
It's not gonna happen.
Okay. If he wins. In my heart, I wish he raises his hand and says, listen, it's over. It's going to be 20 years till a guy shows up and leaves here with 6 rings. Good luck.
And it's against the team that he won his first one against. So I could see it being like a surprise one. The way I'm thinking now, I would be surprised. But it would be a good end to the story.
Plus, well, with Belichick, too, you know, the coach.
He better never leave. He has to at least be GM for life.
Because
I would say like that you were talking about Sony Michel. And I was thinking, we had LeGarrette Blount going crazy for a couple of years, and he left. And I was like, oh, no, no one's going to be able to have touchdowns. And that guy has, like 6 touchdowns in 2 games.
I wasn't a contributor to it.
Oh, my God.
I didn't contribute a dime to it. I didn't pay any attention to it at all. I checked the result, and I knew they were fighting. When Tito and Chuck were fighting, it broke my heart.
It's hard to watch.
It broke my heart. I didn't have to watch it. I didn't think Liddell would get beat up or knocked out, but I knew that people were going to see you in a different perception. People never seen Liddell in his prime against Babalu and against Randy Couture. People who had seen that are going to watch that fight and go, that was that guy? And I just saw the pictures of him. He looked old. He looked like he didn't belong in there. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it, why? For financial purposes.
Really?
Because the UFC was paying him. When William Morris took over, they cut his job as a consultant. At least the UFC was taking care of him, and he could fucking survive.
Right. Yeah.
Imagine having to go into the ring at however old he was at 47.
49.
Listen, I don't give a fuck what anybody tells you. After 40, you start seeing things that unless you're realistic with yourself, nobody could else see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your kicks are going to lose a little bit of snap to them.
Yeah.
Your vision starts to go.
Right.
You know, the reaction time starts to go. You think you still have your original movement.
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself on tape. Boy, are you going to be disappointed. You know, when I go to the gym, when I go to Muay Thai class in the mornings, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly how old I am. And I know what my purpose is there for. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see guys that go to the gym and they just don't get it? They've been going there for 9 months and all of a sudden they're like, Jake, put on your gloves. And you're like, you really don't get it. That I can destroy you with my hands. You know, people just don't see things sometimes. I'm happy that you at least took a step back.
Yeah.
And are analyzing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're analyzing it.
Definitely.
You know, and someday you'll maybe officially retire or someday you might say, fuck it. They offered me too much money to go to Japan. It's a 3-fight contract. They're going to give me $1 million. My family needs to eat.
Sure.
We all get pushed into that direction of making that decision, you know?
Right, right.
I felt the noticeable
difference, like 30, 31, right around there. I mean, I'm only 33, but I started a fight when I was 20. So it's like, I think about 31, you kind of feel a little bit of a difference. More so reactions, maybe not as sharp or, you know, move as quickly. You know what I mean? The takedown's not as fast, but you know, you can notice that stuff. But the problem with the fight, the sport, is people don't like to have that realistic conversation with themselves either. You know, they like to, no, I'm good. You know, they like to fucking just act like it's not there, but gotta have that objective conversation, you know?
I mean, who wants to tell yourself that you're done? Not anybody. I can't imagine, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, throughout my comedy career, there was moments when I was like, you know what? I think that.
Really?
I want to get a day job at one point. And then you come back to your senses. You know, you're like, I'm not ready to give up yet. This is happening or this happened. But again, that's a complete different situation than the fighting and the Tom Brady situation. I don't want to see Tom getting sacked.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to see Tom's back being broken because he couldn't move. You know, all it takes is one guy missing a block. Which they have the best offensive line in the world.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of funny.
They really fucking do.
We have he's like in his 60s or 70s, maybe even 80s, offensive line coach. He retired for 2 years, and the guy who came in kind of stunk. They didn't do as well. So they took him out of retirement. He's 80 years old in there.
Yeah, you got to go with who the best is. My hats go off to both teams.
You see, the Rams, too, the defensive line, they got some fucking killer, Dominican Sue, you know, a few killers on their D-line. So it's, they got, and the Patriots got a great line, offensive line, but these guys are getting better.
Your offense is crazy. Our defense is usually pretty good.
Whoa, what's our? You did not play that
ours.
Game yesterday. You did not burn a calorie.
I never
say
the Patriots.
Stop saying R.
I burned a calorie. The fourth quarter was very vexing. The Patriots defensive backs are okay usually, but we usually have a not so great. So I was surprised because you guys have great quarterbacks and oh, your Kelsey's great. You have,
yeah.
Like, you guys are.
Why are you calling him you guys? Does he look like a fucking Ram?
That's how you talk about sports. I don't know.
No. Don't keep saying you guys. He's not a Ram. He's Jake Ellenberger, right?
All right, I'm sorry.
Aren't you happy you fucking... I didn't like the last podcast with Jake. Jake got a little too high, and I wanted to do Joey Diaz, Christ Killer, and Lee Syatt, Jake Ellenberger, too, yeah. And Jake Ellenberger, thank just to you, let people you, know that. Don't mess around with drugs. You understand me? Especially weed from Joey Diaz and a bong. You never know what you're going to get.
It ain't the same.
And I didn't mean any malice at all. I thought you could handle a fucking bong. I heard you were fucked up till about 2 in the morning. You didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I was,
did you really take an Uber home? Lit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you were
car
fucking...
parked. Yeah, I was like, oh, I can't drive. I'm fucking... I went and ate. That didn't do nothing. No, I was talking to Kate. I was like, I don't even know what time it is, what day it is. I'm Ubering home.
And when you woke up the next morning, how did you feel?
I was fucked up.
Still?
Yeah, a little bit. I was still a little bit like, what? I don't know. I just.
There is a weed hangover.
I had the snippets, like the visual memory, like a little snip, like kind of piecing them back together. But
it's crazy.
Where did you go to eat?
I don't even know. Some joint down the street.
Mexican place?
Yeah.
Mexican place. Yeah, they went. Yep. I know where they went. I couldn't tell you. She said, she goes, yeah, he was high for a little while after. Yeah. What did you give him? I said, I didn't give him nothing. There's no stars. He just smoked. I gave you like 31% weed.
Yeah.
And you're a healthy guy. You took a big bong hit. And it just kept creeping on you like a finger in the ass. It just kept getting deeper and deeper. And I would ask you questions and you would like shrug them off. And I'll tell you, thank God we have a great... Great people listen to this show, and they love that shit.
Yeah.
Like, we fucked up a couple people here, and a lot of them were stars. You know, we had Ada, who ended up in the hospital. Mm. We had the girl who I had to put on the couch. George Perez, I had to lay him down one
George,
night.
Yeah.
The best was Owen Wilson.
Really?
Owen Benjamin got up and walked out and kept walking. Next time I talked to him, he was on Ventura and Van Nuys, walking around lost. Then he moved to Vermont and he started using the N-word and they threw him off Twitter.
Oh, shit.
So somebody sent us a tape of him. Just you got it, Lee?
Yeah, yeah.
Before we end this, watch this. Like, yeah. He goes, somebody sent us a video, a YouTube video of us with Owen Benjamin. This is what pushed him over the edge. The star of death that pushed him over the edge. The podcast that changed Owen Benjamin's life. Jesus Christ, Lee.
Sorry, I'm
high. Supposed to have this shit.
It is right. I'm just making so they can see it.
Who could see it?
The people are watching.
All right, we'll hit it. What are we waiting on? Flowers here. The church of what's happening now. Monday, the day the devil was buried at sea and fucked in the ass and lit on fire and dropped off at Cosby's house. Oh shit. Owen Benjamin.
What's up?
Lee Syatt. Uncle Joey. Get those shoes on, bitches. Oh shit, pump out those moves, cocksuckers. What? What's the story, Lee Syatt?
I'm doing good. Oh my God, these stars are kicking in fast.
Yeah, yeah, we're not fucking around. I've been fermenting these, you know what I'm saying? These have been sitting in the dark. Owen Benjamin, what's happened?
Just the stars are kicking in pretty hard.
Fuck yeah, and I wouldn't even let you eat the second one because I know these things smack people around really hard.
I've done comedy now right. Since college, so I was always traveling, so I never really looked forward to more. It's almost like our job is people's party, so it's like you don't live in the frat house. You know, you kind of just kind of go.
Owen Benjamin just gave me a look that I recognize. It's a look that's telling me.
What's that? Oh, I'm crazy high.
Yeah, it's hitting you.
Yeah.
It? Yeah, I'm sorry. Bro.
No, but it's cool. Like all your story.
You want more
like,
water?
Because you're such a descriptive talker that everything you're saying, I'm like literally seeing in my head. It's really fun.
Owen, we feeling all right?
Remember, yeah, I'm just
going to get some air.
Yeah, nah, I'm fucking crazy high though.
Okay, you want more water?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Let's do some water. Yeah.
Fuck.
I told you, you wanted to eat too. I saved you because I like
it.
Well, that his voice changed a little bit, and I know he stays in a lot more. Tremendous. Yeah, those things are strong, Owen. Yeah, you just relax. Man. This is the devil here tonight.
I can barely fucking function.
Oh, yeah. No, no. This is I want to be around. This is it, man.
When somebody breaks your heart, somebody twice as smart.
How can you handle six times?
Because we're in training, Owen Benjamin. Owen Benjamin coming back. He's coming back. He's making a comeback like Jerry Lewis. This is good shit. These stars are the stars of death, Owen Benjamin. You want to take a walk? You all right?
Yeah, I'm going to take a walk.
Get some air right there. Get some air in the back one. And take your water with you just in case you fucking, you know, you want to dehydrate a little bit. You'll be all right. This happens. This day I had to do 1,000 things. Little stupid. He abandoned shit. This is the real deal of church, you know? As a matter of fact, give me the bag. I'm going to eat another one out of respect. Leaving, I'm not eating it alone.
No.
You're my partner in crime.
I figured I was involved in this.
Oh, my God. Out of respect for you people, you know I love you with all my heart. I hope you have a good week. I'm eating this star on a fucking solo tip just to let you know we ain't fucking around no more. Take it or fucking leave it. I ain't got time for this shit no more. Your attitude should be like my attitude. It's over. We're taking over this bitch. Right or wrong, cocksucker. I really think Owen Benjamin abandoned ship. He is the first guest that has ever abandoned ship.
He just called an Uber, you think?
I don't know. I think he's out there. I could see it. There was one point where I could see his eye just go,
Thank God he said no on the second one.
Yeah, he would have been dead. I want to thank Owen Benjamin. These stars are fucking brutal.
The woods.
Tweet that out, Doug.
Oh my God.
Tweet that out.
Alright, you want to post it? I should post it? Let's say I can post it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what do you think about that? See? You shouldn't feel that bad. Yeah, at least you sat through it like a man. You're Jake Ellenberger out of Omaha, Nebraska.
I'm taking some hits. I'm taking some punches.
Oh, my God. That was tremendous. Damn. But at least you didn't pull a fucking Owen Benjamin on me. You the sat Houdini. There and you took it like a fucking man. And now you're back. He never came back. He just kept going. He packed his family up and they were out of here. They moved to Beverly Hills like the Beverly Hills. I don't know where he went. Anyway, keep us posted. What's the name of your company? With the roller you gave me and the ball?
Oh, Hyper Ice, yeah.
Hyper Ice. You have a webpage?
Yeah, there's hyperice.com.
It's great. That roller, I love it. Good, I fucking love that, bro. I love it. It saves my life. It really does, man. But I wish you the best of luck, your family, whatever you want to come on the fucking podcast.
Thank you.
I'm sorry about fucking japping you last time.
No.
I felt really horrible, and I wanted to tell you in the face that I didn't jap you. It was just regular fucking strong weed.
Yeah.
And let you motherfuckers know I don't fuck around. So if you come by the Voodoo Lounge, you too are going to get zapped. And they're going to have to Uber home. Remember who else Ubered? Tom Segura Ubered.
Yeah, Tom Segura Ubered. Yeah, so a bunch of people had to
Yeah,
Uber.
Fuck it. We weren't fucking around here for a while. No, you hung it out like a man.
Appreciate it.
So thank you very much. You're always family. You're always welcome on the show. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, Thursday night, Brea. It's going to be a fucking on. And then Friday night, that's all that's available. It's Thursday and Friday. Saturday sold out. So get your motherfucking tickets. Don't forget Valentine's Day in San Jose. Valentine's Day in San Jose. What are you fucking nuts or what? All right, I want to thank my main man, Jake Ellenberger, too. The first time we had technical difficulties, there was a malfunction. I want to thank the Christ Killer, but most of all, I want to thank you guys. But before we leave, I want to talk to you about something, all right? Listen, how much longer can you stand in line at the post office? You know, you want your New Year's resolution that you can actually keep. Stop wasting your time by going to the post office and you can send letters and packages right from your desk. Do it today with Stamps.com. Me, my wife, that's all we use, and we've been using them for years. Why? Because they bring the U.S. Postal Service right to you. Use your computer to print official U.S. postage for any letter or any size package going anywhere in the world. And the best part is, the mailman will pick it up right in front of your house. No more lugging boxes to the post office. Stamps.com is also going to save you money by giving you a discounted rate on stamps that you can't even get at the post office. You're never going to pay full price for stamps again. And their postage meters are a fraction of the cost. Plus, you don't have to sign a lease, and there's no long-term commitment. If you're leaving money on the table, if you don't sign up, that's what you're doing. You're leaving money on the table if you don't sign up. So do me a favor. I use Stamps.com personally, my wife, because it's a no-brainer. It saves me time and money. Right now, they got a special offer, a four-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale to start the new year right. Get your trial today. You own a business, you're starting a new business, a small business, doesn't matter. Stamps.com is the way to go. Go to Stamps.com right now. Do me a favor. Grab the pen and click the microphone on the top of the homepage and use the promo code CHURCH. Why? Go to Stamps.com and enter CHURCH and start sending your mail like a doctor with Stamps.com. Another business that I love. I love for small business. I love for businesses is ZipRecruiter. Why? Because it's a smarter way to go. You know what's not smart? Job boards that make you wait for the right people to apply for your job. You know what's not smart? Job boards that assume qualified candidates will see and apply to your job post. With this, let me tell you something. This is the best and quickest way to hire. Again, I'm 56. I got one foot in the grave, one a banana peel, and I believe in saving time and working smart. ZipRecruiter is working smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds the qualified candidates for you. It's a powerful matching technology that scans through thousands of resumes to identify the people with the right skills, education, and experience, and it actively invites them to apply to your job so you get the qualified candidates fast. That's it. You don't got to go through a bunch of bums. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers all in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. So right now, what we're going to do is this, all right? The CHURCH family, you can try out ZipRecruiter for, you ready for this? Free. Free. You can try it out for free. I don't care whether you have a small landscaping business and you're looking for a designer, or I don't care if you have a huge company. I'm going to give you ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/CHURCH. If you like the show, you want to show a little support, again, this is going to help your business. Why not give it a shot? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Joey. Again, CHURCH, CHURCH. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Joey. ZipRecruiter is a smarter way to hire. I want to thank ZipRecruiter, and I want to thank Stamps.com for supporting us this week. But most importantly, I want to thank you guys for being the best family we could have. You know, and Lee's too high right now to answer, but he just nodded his head like a fucking Momo.
You didn't say anything.
You guys are the good. This won't say a word. Listen. You guys are the goods, and I love you. Don't forget Thursday and Friday night bread. A couple tickets left. February 14th, San Jose, the San Jose Improv, and most important, Treasure Island, the 22nd, and the Fox Theater in Tucson on the 23rd. I love you guys with all my heart. I will see you Thursday morning, tip-top to Magoo, ready to fucking go. Kick this fucking mule, Lee.
Be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me. Who'll leave you to learn that misery loves company. Wait and see. I mean, I wanna be around see how he does it
when he breaks your heart to bits. Let's see if the puzzle fits. So fine. And that's when I'll discover that revenge is sweet. As I sit there applauding from a front row seat. When somebody breaks your heart like you, like